It was wet. Dark and wet. I could hear the rain beating against my window, like a drunken drum solo gone terribly wrong. Maybe the sound of the rhythmic storm raging outside was the reason I didn't hear her enter my office, gently closing the door behind her.
"Detective Napier,"
she said almost in a whisper. I looked up from my delicious hot pocket, startled by the voice to find a dame dressed in red. I could tell this woman was troubled, just from her silhouette, as the light from the hallway behind her danced off her hellish curves.
"I didn't hear you come in, ma'am. Please sit down."
I shot an open palm out in the direction of the chair to my left. She remained standing.
"Detective Napier, I have a problem. A dear friend of the family has, he's been murdered. The police have ruled it a suicide, but I just can't convince them. There's just no way Jesse killed himself. There's just no way."
We discussed the specifics of her case. Seemed pretty straightforward. The man in question, a man who went by the name of Jesse, was found in a coat closet hanging by a bar with a necktie and a dildo in his ass. I agreed to dig deeper, partly due to the size of the check she wrote, and partly due to the amount of titty meat she was sporting.
Napier, a private dick without decency, fighting crime and obesity, so you'd better watch out, Detective Napier, 300 pounds and irresistible. Ladies, this man is invincible, and the world needs him now. Detective Napier, crime stories.
The next night, the rain had cleared. I was given a key to the so-called victim's apartment, and slipped in undetected. The room still smelled like decomposing bodies and sweaty, sweaty masturbation. I was convinced this was a dead end, surveying the scene until something caught my eye in the doorway to the bedroom. I crouched by what appeared to be a white footprint, obviously made by a large-footed man wearing boots. The footprint was not a scuff, but a track made in a fine powder of sort. I peered into the bedroom. I saw that the sheets had been tossed in the same substance.
"Some sort of powdery guy,"
I said to myself, as a sharp pain and thud greeted the back of my head. My world went dark. I was not alone in this apartment, and whoever was here had gotten the drop on me. Second time this week. Damn. It took some time for my eyes to adjust to the darkness of the room. My captors had bound my hands above my head, forcing my wrists to support all of my weight, as I was just out of reach to comfortably stand. I could hear them faintly arguing in the distance, but I couldn't make out their bodies. What appeared to be a random set of limbs bounced as the voices pleaded their case. Either this argument was over my fate, or I had been written off and they moved on to sports or politics or butt-fucking. I could tell the space we were occupying was large, just by the way the air felt, the echoes bouncing around the room as feet were shuffled around and water circulated through the pipes. From a window near me, I could tell it was night. Probably missed the X Factor. Missing the X Factor pisses me off. I tried to free my arms, contorting them in different ways to loosen the ropes, but I was hopelessly trapped. With the possibility of escaping ruled out, I decided my only option was to make it known that I had regained consciousness and to get this over with. Whatever this was.
Detective Napier, crime story.
Farty poop fart!
I called out to signal I was awake and ready to talk. The arguing stopped. The figure slowly got larger as they approached. One held back, just out of view as the other stepped into the moonlight. I could instantly see that this man was powdery. His face and hands, all that was visible beyond his dark clothing and tactical boots, were a bright white. His shoulders were dusted with whatever had shaken loose from his bald, dusty melon.
Hello, Detective Napier. It's nice to finally meet you. I've been an admirer of yours for quite some time.
Glad to hear it. I'd shake your hand, but someone has them tied.
Yeah, that was me. Sorry about that. I figured it would be easier to rape you that way.
Rape me?
You see, Detective Napier, I was born both a powdery guy and a homosexual. For years, I seduced young, handsome men only to be denied sex due to my condition. The powder makes the lube all gloopy like cookie dough, they say. Maybe you should just blow me, they say. I've never experienced the joy of a man's ass and felt I never would. Until I saw you. I knew you had to be the one. You're the bear that's going to take my unlubed, powdery dick.
So Jesse was killed to set a trap?
Collateral damage.
You'll never get away with this.
I'll probably be a little sore, but I don't think you or anyone can stop me.
My chalky captor lowered his hands to the zipper on his pants and began to tug. He thrust his hips forward to emphasize what was happening. This man intended to put on a show leading up to the big reveal. He smiled widely as my eyes drifted to the movement below. I was no meat gazer, but I couldn't help be curious about what would more than likely be entering me.
Napier, a private dick without decency, fighting crime and obesity. So you'd better watch out. Crime stories.
His pants lowered, revealing what appeared to be nothing. A neatly shaven pubic region with no visible signs of a cock. I breathed a sigh of relief, knowing that although Powdery Guy will probably still kill me, at least I would still die with my dignity.
Just kidding,
he said, widening his thighs to release the massive genitals he had tucked behind him. I gasped as he shimmied his pants the rest of the way down until they were a heap on the floor at his ankles. He rested his hands above his head and did what appeared to be a genie-in-the-bottle dance while dick helicoptering to a tune only he could hear. His lower half was as flowery as what I had already seen, although he was porky pigging it. I could assume his chest was no different. As he continued to dance and taunt me, I began thinking of all the good times I had with my pure, unpenetrated asshole. We had an understanding, exit only, and that treaty was about to be broken.
Are you ready for it, Detective Napier?
He asked. He giggled a bit to himself and began his walk towards me when I heard a loud crash behind him that seemed to affect him quite a bit. Powdery Guy's eyes rolled back into his head and he fell forward with a thud. Left behind his massive frame, the lady in red stood timidly holding a folding chair.
I couldn't let him do it, Detective Napier. Not to you. Not like this.
She lay on top of me like a sack of meat that had been beaten with a shovel, full of entrails and anuses,
From the feel of it, there was a hoof or two in there as well. You did good, kid, I said, giving her an encouraging pat on the rear as I rolled to my right to check the glow of the alarm clock next to her sweat-drenched My Little Pony bed. Instantly, when my hand touched her cold, pale ass cheek, I knew something was wrong. I had thought her spasms and paroxysms were a result of my lovemaking technique. That the way she gnashed her teeth and tried to bite off her left ear was orgasmic release from the way I violently plowed into her gaping hatchet wound she referred to as a vagina. I realized it had been a result of the cyanide dart sticking out of the ass cheek I had lovingly patted. Realized it too late. Realized that the dart had been meant for me. This was going to be a rough Tuesday.
Detective Napier Crime Stories.
I knew it would be difficult to explain the dead lady full of my sputums, so I unfortunately had to throw her in the river. Sorry, sweetie. You deserve better than this. As I stood there, watching her body, that I had carefully wrapped in bed sheets, float down the river and sink, it hit me. I've been wearing a condom. There were no sputums left in her at all. I watched her body slowly sink out of sight, lit up, tipped my hat and whispered, "Whoops, bye." Turning from the edge of the bridge, I raised my fist to the heavens, angrily committing myself to finding the person who had done this to the sweet, overweight lady I was making yum with. My eyes drifted to a nearby Taco Bell billboard, which looked absolutely delicious. This case would have to wait, because although revenge is a dish best served cold, I prefer my Doritos Locos Tacos piping hot.
Something this good can't be kept to yourself. The new Cool Ranch Doritos Locos Tacos from Taco Bell are here.
By the time I cleared my mind enough to actually eat, my Taco Bell order was as cold as the body I found in my bed. The stress had diminished my appetite to the point I could only eat two chalupas, a Cool Ranch Doritos Locos taco, a bean burrito, a black bean burrito, bean and cheese burrito, an XXL steak nacho, and a large Mountain Dew Baja Blast, which I know is just Mountain Dew mixed with that blue Gatorade, but I don't care, because it's damn tasty. Anyway, I was still hungry. For justice.
Detective Napier Crime Stories.
Returning to the scene of the crime, I searched for clues. Although the silent assassin had done his dirty deeds while we were taking sweet after sex naps, surely there had to be something to lead my investigation. I kicked piles of dirty laundry and looked inside old McDonald's cups, but found nothing. Nothing that would give me an idea who made an attempt on my life. All of this searching made me incredibly hungry. Since I had already been to Taco Bell, I decided the next logical place to search for clues was at Jack in the Box. When I arrived, the dining room was surprisingly empty, with the exception of one man eating alone. With his back turned to me, I could tell by his posture he was upset. As I weaved through the crowd control posts on my way to the counter, my eyes remained fixed on the man in the dining room. I could see his glasses and beard, an obvious sense of style. He reminded me of me. Sensing he was being watched, the man turned his head and made eye contact with me. Quickly, I averted my eyes as to not make the situation fruity or uncomfortable. But then I slowly looked back, I realize this man didn't remind me of me. This man was me!
How can this be happening?
I asked as my doppelganger stood from his seat in the deserted Jack-in-the-Box dining room.
You can't be me. I'm me.
We're both me. I'm you from the future. I've come back for two things. The first is two tacos for an affordable price. The second is to kill you.
Napier, a private dick without decency. Fighting crime and obesity. So you'd better watch out, Detective Napier. 300 pounds and irresistible. Ladies, this man is invincible, and the world needs him now. Crime stories.
The old me sat at a booth across from me. He offered me one of his delicious jalapeno poppers, which I graciously accepted.
In the future, where I'm from, they don't even have delicious jalapeno poppers. That was a hard pill to swallow. Fortunately, I could still get two delicious tacos for $1. Then things changed. Jack got greedy. Breakfast stopped being served all day. Chaos ensued. Even then, I said nothing. Finally, they came for my two delicious tacos. That was the day I began my quest to build a time machine. I wanted to go back in time and find me and put me, you, I guess, out of your misery before you, before I knew the pain of taco-pocalypse.
But why tell me? Now I'll die knowing the world is doomed.
I'll tell you why. When I saw you with that obese woman, it reminded me I used to be great. I used to be unstoppable. I realized that with advanced knowledge, maybe you, I, maybe we can stop it before it even happens. Maybe we can change the future.
Then why did you kill her?
Who?
The chubby lady I was making lovin's with.
Oh, right. Well, at first I thought she was a Sasquatch. Instinct took over. Ma bad.
On the run from my future self, I decided to take a quick stop at the local barbecue joint. There, I purchased ribs, baked potatoes, brisket, those things made out of French bread and salt and butter and garlic, and they give you like a whole French bread and beans, lots of beans. After I left the barbecue shack, assuming that my future self is eating there like I was, I have at least a 10-minute head start. Quickly, I run into the Sun Tan and Go in the local strip mall 20 feet away because my motor-powered rascal had run out of battery. I order the deluxe package and tell the lady, "I'll be there until I'm done." She looks at me thinking, "Well, that is a lot to tan, and these beds are only so wide." I stuff myself into the lighted cylinder, and then it hits me. The pork sleepies. The ribs were too much for my cholesterol-laden heart, and now I must rest like a grizzly bear inside of my tube. I awoke hours later, after the lady said that she could smell bacon. And she was right. It had been at least 10.5 hours inside of this tanning bed. I assume my assailant had left, probably given up, or is still, in fact, at the barbecue joint. I look in the mirror, and to my surprise, I have become Idris Elba. Night has fallen, and the barbecue shack has decided to close shop. I see my future self, and he runs at me. Run is a very generous word. My pursuer is doing a hippopotamus charge towards me and my vehicle. I start the engine, and we are off on a chase. During our speed chase, I have dropped my angry chicken fries to the floorboard of my car. I wince as I try to get over the steering area of my car, and I have acquired my chicken fries just a moment too late. Picking the glass shards out of my angry chicken fries and putting them into a McDonald's wrapper, I run down the street as my assailant has caught up to my broken vehicle. I notice one house still has its lights on, and like a fat trick-or-treater, I bolt to it. I knock on the door, and the most vivacious lady, who is black, opens the door.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't mean to bother you. You were the only house with the lights on. I just lost control of my car, skidded, and wrecked it.
Are you alright?
I'm good. I just had a scratch.
Oh my god.
I'm alright. Do you think I could use your phone? I don't even need to come in. I'll stand right here. You can hand the phone shut for me.
Okay, I'll be right back.
All right, thank you.
Drunk from chicken fries and the past barbecue, I have knocked over her pottery and have begun to scoop it back into itself, hoping that she won't notice I have both broken her pot and soiled her carpet.
You know, the one time I forget my cell phone.
Here.
Thank you. Oh, boy.
You live around here?
Yeah, over on River Road.
Oh, okay.
After my phone call with the local AAA establishment.
They're on their way. So, thank you. Again.
Yeah, sure.
Appreciate it. All right.
Okay. You can come in.
I don't want to bother you.
No, it's no bother. Just come home.
Are you sure?
Yeah, look, I can't keep you out from rain to bleed to death. Just, it's fine.
Sure.
I'm positive.
Thank you.
Ooh, that cut's really bad.
Oh.
Let me see if I have something for that. Stay right there, okay?
All right.
There is a knock at the door.
Very nice of you.
Thankfully, it is just Reggie, the guy from AAA that I actually called to come get me. If I know anything, I know myself. And 10 minutes of chasing something my attention deficit disorder probably would have kicked in, and then I would have gone to the local KFC for a $5 fill-up.
Howdy, folks. This is me, Colonel Sanders. For $5, you can fill up your car with gasoline, or you can fill up yourself with my $5 fill-up with finger-licking good sauce. It's tender. It's juicy. It's delicious.
Three chicken tenders, taters, and gravy. I throw in a biscuit and a big old cookie.
My $5 fill-up will fill you up. Guaranteed. Isn't that right, Philip?
It's still finger-licking good.
It had been a fairly shitty morning. Here I was, about to be launched into space against my will by a powdery maniac with nothing but a Kmart bag full of Wendy's spicy chicken nuggets and my wits. That's when it hit me. Oh, I get it. It's 'cause I'm fat. Trail of nuggets started from my bathroom and led outside. I found a bag that I began collecting them in for evidence. Although I found it unusual, investigating the unusual is what I do. Every few feet, another delicious breaded glob of formed chicken paste was laid out for me on the pavement. 10-second rule need not apply when dealing with this anomaly of nature. The journey lasted for what seemed like hours. I had filled my Kmart shopping bag and begun storing extras in my belly. My investigation led me to a restricted area. I was surrounded by orange and yellow signs warning me of the danger. But my quest for the truth behind the nugget trail kept me ever vigilant. I ignored the signs, the physically posted and the figurative ones that I should have been more cautious of. It was clear from the get-go this was leading me to somewhere, and I followed it to the letter, straight into a trap. Light slowly filled the space I was occupying, the buzzing of fluorescence kicking in echoed throughout what appeared to be some sort of spacecraft. Beeps and rattling hard drives added to the sound as more and more electronic elements began to come alive. Screens lit up with various logos containing acronyms I didn't know. I tugged at the door, but expectedly found it to be locked. When I turned from the entrance, the screens were all trained on one thing. Staring back at me were 50 powdery guys grinning at me in unison. My greatest foe lured me into a rocket ship with Wendy's spicy chicken nuggets, and now I would be forced to look at his disgusting chalky face.
Hello, Detective Napier. As by now I'm sure you've deduced, I am the one who led you here.
How much did those nuggets set you back? I've been picking them up for hours.
Not as much as you may think. A 4-piece is only 99 cents. It was time-consuming more than anything, but the ends certainly justify the means.
What do you intend to do with me?
Oh, I think it's pretty obvious. You're taking a one-way trip to outer space. Just you and the stars. Forever floating in an endless void. Away from drive-thrus. Away from being able to meddle in my sinister plans.
You'll never get away with this, powdery guy.
I will admit, no longer being able to see the sun will be an adjustment. But no longer seeing you is a reasonable compromise.
You're destroying the sun? You maniac!
No, I was making a joke. You're blocking the sun with your giant... No matter. I win. You lose. Goodbye, Detective Napier! It was so easy. You're so stupid.
Introducing 99 cent spicy chicken nuggets. All white meat, seasoned with peppers and savory spices. But the real kick? You get 5 pieces for only 99 cents. Only at Wendy's.
Space is weird. There isn't sound from your surroundings. So it really puts you in tune with your own body. I can hear the beating of my heart. The tummy grumbles, reminding me of the distance between me and a McPick 2, containing my choice of a Big Mac, a Filet-O-Fish, a quarter pounder with cheese, or a 10-piece McNugget. Two for the low price of just $5. I had no Big Macs. I had no Tang. I was alone in a rocket ship aimed at the sun.
Detective Napier Crime Stories.
Floating up here in this metal tube, I realize how much I miss my home and my Taco Bell $5 cravings meal, where you get a burrito supreme, cheesy gordita crunch, crunchy taco, chips with nachos and cheese, and a medium diet soda. I miss KFC and their $5 fill-up. 2 pieces of fried chicken. Mashed potatoes. Biscuit. Medium diet drink. And a chocolate chip cookie. I miss my Hardee's big box lunch. With 2 double cheeseburgers, small fry, an apple turnover, and a 20-ounce diet soda. I miss my Wendy's 4 for $4. I can either get a junior bacon cheeseburger or a crispy chicken BLT, then add on 4-piece nuggets, fries, and a diet soda. Or the Rallies, 4 for $3, spicy chicken, crispy fish, or a Checkers or Rallies burger, plus a small diet soda, fry, and an apple pie. I miss my Burger King, giving me A bacon cheeseburger, crispy chicken nuggets, small fry, and a small diet soda, and a chocolate chip cookie for $4. I miss my Arby's 2-for-5 loaded curly fries, roast beef classic, tender crispy fish filet, and beef and cheddar classic. I miss my Sonic Boombox for $5, including the choice of a premium 6-inch hot dog, a junior deluxe cheeseburger, crispy medium tots or fries, and a refreshing medium diet soda. I miss my Jack in a Box Munchies meal with 2 tacos, halfsy fry, which includes half regular French fries and half seasoned curly fries, which is what you get every time you get any fry, no matter what you tell them, a 20 ounce diet soda, and 1 of 4 entree burgers, the stacked grilled cheeseburger, the brunch burger, exploding cheesy chicken sandwich, loaded chicken nuggets, or the jalapeno burger. I miss all of my deals back home, and now I'm on the spaceship ride into the sun, where there are no $5 fill-ups, munchy meals, real deal boxes, boom boxes, loaded curly fries, bacon cheeseburgers, or 4-for-4s. There's nothing but me and the sun, and the emptiness inside. Wait, what the fuck was that? A hole burnt through the wall of my metal enclosure, revealing the face of a purple man dressed in what appeared to be a metallic jacket and a 2007 Indianapolis Colts AFC Championship t-shirt. He nudged his way in the ship and sealed the crack instantaneously with the tip of his glowing finger. The brief loss of pressure had me struggling for breath.
"Well, looks like I've caught a view,"
he said in a deep voice that echoed off the metal walls.
"What's your name, stranger?"
"Napier, a private dick without decency, fighting crime and obesity. So you'd better watch out, Detective Napier, crime stories."
"They call me Napier."
"Is that French?"
"I'm an American."
"Ooh, American. I like that. Are you from a Hardy state or a Carl's Jr. state?"
"What?
Hardee's or Carl's Jr.? It's not a difficult question. When you go to get food in the restaurant with the smiling star mascot, what does the sign say?"
"Hardee's. I live in a state with the Hardee's."
"Hmm, country boy. I bet you have a strong bag. Do you like Luke Bryan? My wife loves him so very much."
"How do you know about Luke Bryan in Hardee's? Aren't you from another planet?"
"Oh, we're very much aware of Earth's happenings. Your Craigslists? We love your Craigslists."
"I need to get back to Earth. I was marooned on this ship by a powdery psychopath. Can you help me?"
"Oh, sure, I can. You got any tattoos? My wife loves tattoos."
No, I don't have any tattoos."
"I'll tell you what, friend. I'll get you back to Earth if you do one small favor for me."
"What is it? I'll do anything."
"It's always been a fantasy of mine to watch an Earth boy plow my wife. Can you do that for me, Napier? Can you do some of the things those Craigslist people say they're gonna do? Also, I would love it if you could get us some Dr. Pepper. Please. My wife does love her Dr. Pepper.
I had learned of Powdery Guy's whereabouts through happenstance. I was waiting in the lobby of a Papa John's for my order of cheesy bread when a delivery driver returned from his delivery speaking to his superiors of a man who looked like a third grade teacher's blackboard eraser, covered head to toe in white chalky powder. It wasn't difficult to acquire his home address. Pizza drivers are motivated by sweet, sweet tips. And since I had begun my Dr. Pepper space smuggling operation, money was not as hard to come by. I arrived at dusk, when I knew he would be distracted with peak prime time Steve Harvey programming. I crept up to the window to see what nefarious deeds my greatest foe was cooking up. My guess was that he would be devising some sort of bomb or trap. Certainly what looked like a simple suburban home was actually just a shell for whatever horrors lie inside. What I saw through that spotless pane of glass was not what I was expecting. It was not an evil lair at all. It was a family, kids, a wife, and him in a fucking sweater.
Napier, a private dick without decency, fighting crime and obesity, so you'd better watch out. Detective Napier, 300 pounds and irresistible. Ladies, this man is invincible, and the world needs him now. Detective Napier Crime Stories.
Miles, there's someone tapping on our window. He's really big.
That's, come around to the front door, sir. We can talk there. What in the hell are you doing here? I launched you into space!
Daddy?
Yes, honey?
Who is this man?
Good question. It turns out he's actually,
I'm an old work buddy. I've just come here to talk to your dad about work.
Oh, cool. Do you make cakes too?
You told them you're a baker? Ha! That's hilarious! I'll see you at work tomorrow, Miles. Might want to come in early. We have a lot of things to get done.
How does this story end, faithful listener? Well, I guess on the way out, he got hit by a car. So, yeah, that's that. He walked out in the middle of the street, didn't look both ways. Got hit by a car. Don't know what to tell you. Yeah, Powdery Guy wins. Well, yeah. Good.